Welcome to the Schmooze with Rabbi Mintz, rabbi at Congregation Beth Israel and co-director of Chabad of Forsyth, Dawson, and Lumpkin with his wife, Chaya. The Schmooze is a weekly show that infuses life into life. More than a conversation, it's a meaningful schmooze. To interact with the show or to become a sponsor, reach out at jewishforsyth.org. Now, let's get schmoozing with Rabbi Mintz and his co-host, Tim House, on North Georgia's News Talk, WDUN.
Hey, good morning, folks. Glad you're joining us again on The Schmooze. Rabbi Levi Mintz is with us this morning, along with myself, Tim House. Rabbi, how are you today?
Thank God. Doing great, Tim. Great to hear your voice. Wonderful to be together with you, and excited for another unbelievable show here together with you.
I'm excited as well. I know we've got a lot to talk about this morning. And let me tell the folks a little bit about us. We are spurred by a profound love for every Jew and spurred by boundless optimism. Congregation Beth Israel is dedicated to building community every day through a dazzling array of programs and services to serve the spiritual and physical needs of all Jews from all walks of life with unconditional love and acceptance. Folks, we need you to talk to us. We need you to tell us what you think, what you want. We're easy to get, jewishforsyth.org, 470-2537-111. Rabbi, I know the high holidays are coming, and I know you want to tell folks and try to get them to register and come on down and join us.
Absolutely. It's another year, my dear friends. Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement is coming up just 3 weeks away. Listen, this year has been a wild year for everyone. And the high holidays is the time of the year that anchors our highest ideals, our highest values, and it just gets us right back where we need to be to have that strength to go into the next year with an incredible amount of optimism. And I encourage all of our listeners, make this year the year that you come and participate and come to services and be inspired and be elevated and be motivated to engage the next year in ways you've never done before. So all you need to do, my dear friends, you've already been invited. Just go to jewishforsyth.org, jewishforsyth.org, and make your reservation. And I personally look forward to greeting you this year at services.
Hey, I can't wait. I'm really keyed up. And you know, we had that little meeting the other night, and I saw some folks that I haven't seen since the coronavirus started. So I'm very, very excited about being able to get back into the synagogue, and especially for the High Holies. Which kind of, I guess, runs us right on into the Ask Rabbi question, if you're okay and ready.
Let's do it, Tim.
Okay, the question that was sent to us is, how to see God's blessings when all you see is sadness and despair?
Such a powerful question, Tim. Such a powerful question. Because the question is real. It's real, it's raw. And I think it's very important that as we begin in this conversation, we need to be very sensitive about it. Because there is an incredible amount of pain that so many are seeing. And the pain and the suffering can be on so many different levels. It can be health related. It can be financially related. It can be within relationships. There are so many levels and so many ways that people are hurting. And the big question is, how do we and where do we find God in this picture? You know, what's fascinating, Tim, is that the Talmud makes a statement. And the Talmud says is that a Jew is obligated to bless God both for the good and for the bad. It's a very powerful statement because it's hard to understand. I could understand what it means to thank God for all the good in my life. You know, you make that good business deal. You're in a happy marriage. One is healthy. One is deriving an incredible amount of pride from their children. Just life is good. This makes sense to say thank God for the good. But the Talmud says that one is obligated to say thank God for the good and the bad the same. How could a person do that? Right? How can a person wake up in the morning, reflect about all of the challenges and the suffering that an individual is going through and genuinely say, God, thank you for this. Thank you that my house burnt down. Thank you that the finances are challenging. Thank you for the illness. Thank you for the difficult times. How could a person say this? Moreover, what were the rabbis of the Talmud thinking to suggest such a statement? What were the rabbis in the Talmud thinking when they suggested that a person should genuinely thank God for the bad just like they thank God for the good? And the answer is that the rabbis of the Talmud understood that there's a creator of this world. There's a force behind it all. And this is God. And God is good. And therefore, everything that God does in this world is good. I sometimes, the way it seems from my limited perspective, that it looks bad. But if I know that everything in this world comes from one unified space, one unified force, God Almighty, then everything that God does, that this good God does, is always good. And therefore, the rabbis had the confidence to say that when one sees good in their life, thank God. And even when one sees perceived bad in their life, one ought to still say, thank God. You know, King Solomon spoke about this. King Solomon said, the quote, that the great waters, meaning when a person is living and they see the great waters of life crashing, the great waters of stress that comes from every element of life, King Solomon said that these great waters can never wash away the love that an individual has for God, the love that an individual has for life. And this goes back to the exact same question, Tim. How is that possible? How is it possible that when a person is living through turbulent waters where everything's crashing, that a person is able to say with confidence what King Solomon said, that this will never wash away my love that I have for life, the love that I have for God? And the answer is so powerful, Tim, because one realizes two things. Number one, that I am a creation of God. And every scenario that happens in the world is also a creation from God. And God only wants good for everything and everyone. And if it means that I am in a particular situation or in a particular circumstance, I need to know that I have a soul. And this soul, at its core, is the essence of God. And therefore, I am made of the best stuff on earth. I am made of the most powerful stuff on earth. And therefore, I can get through this turbulent waters. I can get through this storm. Because the storm is strong. The storm is powerful. There's turbulent waters. But who am I? What am I made of? What's at my core? I have a soul. I have a neshama. These are great waters. But King Solomon says it can never destroy the boat. And on a deeper level, King Solomon was saying, it's not only that the turbulent waters won't crash the boat of life. It's not only that we're made of the best stuff on earth, and therefore fear not during challenging and difficult times, because I have the essence of God within my soul, and therefore I will get through it. But King Solomon says even more. If everything comes from God, that means even the turbulent waters come from God. That means that there's even purpose in the challenging times. There's even purpose in the difficult times. So what can be the good? What can be the purpose with the turbulent waters? And the boat knows that it's only with the fast-moving waters that the boat will be able to be propelled further and farther and quicker in ways that it never would have without these turbulent waters. Essentially, King Solomon was acknowledging that in life, God places challenging times also with a purpose, to use those moments to propel us to go stronger, to become better, to find more blessing in our life. But we never would find those new blessings in life if we hadn't gone through those challenging, difficult times. So this is the essence of why in Judaism, the rabbis of the Talmud said that one can still say, God, thank you for the good, just like one is able to say, thank God, thank you for even the bad. It's with this realization that everything is created from God. Everything is essentially good. Everything has a mission and a purpose. And it's my job to be able to have the eyes, the vision, in order to be able to see it all.
Wow, Rabbi, that is powerful, and it's very meaningful to me, and I hope it is for our listeners. Folks, hate to do it, leave you on the edge of the seat, got to take a quick break.
Join Judah, the Hebrew school that's totally awesome. Judah offers Hebrew curriculum through experiential learning in a warm and inclusive setting. See holiday traditions brought to life through multi-sensory discovery. The passionate, energetic, and caring staff at Judah offer teaching that's innovative and fun. Find out more and become involved today at myjudah.org. That's myjudah.org. Judah, it's the Hebrew school that's totally awesome.
Hey, folks, we're back, and the rabbi was talking to us a little bit to see how God's blessings can be seen even when all you see is sadness and despair. Rabbi, please continue.
Exactly, Tim. This is such an important topic that needs to be discussed because everyone at some level currently and especially during this year has experienced and is going through difficult times. And essentially, the way one is able to see God's hand in every single moment of challenge is for a person to recognize, like we've just spoke before the break, that God is good and everything that comes from God is good. And it is sometimes the challenges. It's that very challenge that's actually what propels us and allows us to become better people, become more ethical people, to become more spiritual people, to become stronger people. And sometimes the blessing only comes through that challenge. So what was perceived as the challenge, we just got to be patient and wait, that there's an incredible blessing that's coming to me only through this way. There's three famous examples of this. The very first example of this is with the Talmudic sage Rabbi Akiva, where it's the famous story that Rabbi Akiva, he went on a journey. With him, he took a donkey to carry all of his belongings. He went with a rooster to wake up early in the morning, and he would go with a candle so he can study Torah in the dark nights. And the story that the Talmud says is that this rabbi was traveling, and he went, the sun was setting, it was getting late in the day, and he needed to find a place to sleep. So he goes to the local town, he knocks on the city gates, and he says, "My name is Rabbi Akiva, is there an inn here, is there anywhere that I can stay?" And they look at him, noticing that he's a Jew, and they say, "Get out of here. No Jew lives in our town." You could imagine Rabbi Akiva was very far away from his hometown. He was in the middle of his travelings, and now he's standing outside this town, and they're not letting him in. Why? Because he's Jewish. Where is he going to sleep? What is he going to do? How is he going to be protected sleeping alone in the wilderness? Well, he went a little bit outside the city, all alone, feeling down, and he made an announcement. And he said that everything that God does is for the good. He found a tree, and he set up his belongings. And all of a sudden, there was an animal that came and saw the donkey and ate up his donkey. Rabbi Akiva is sitting there. He's homeless. He wasn't allowed into the city to live. Now, the one of the three things he had to carry his belongings, the donkey, has just been eaten by an animal. And Rabbi Akiva reflects, everything that God does is for the good. All of a sudden, a little bit later, there's another animal that comes and eats his rooster. Now Rabbi Akiva is wondering, not only was I allowed into the city, not only was my donkey eaten, but now my rooster, the one thing that would wake me up in the morning, now this is gone too. And Rabbi Akiva says, everything that God does is for the good. And then very quickly, there was winds that were blowing so strong that his candle that would allow him to study Torah through this evening was blowing so strong that even the candle wouldn't light. And Rabbi Akiva says, God Almighty, everything that you do is for the good. And the Talmud concludes that night there was a group of bandits that went and attacked the city that didn't allow Rabbi Akiva to sleep that night. And they took prisoners and they took slaves. And then they marched from the city to their next project. And they marched right past the tree where Rabbi Akiva was sitting. And Rabbi Akiva realized that if he had the donkey, if he had the rooster, if he had the candle, the bandits would have noticed him and taken him. And he sat there alone, but feeling very close to God. Because now he realized that, wow, everything that God does is for the good. There's another story that the Talmud says of another Talmudic rabbi. His name was Nachum Ish Gamzu. And the story is that he was asked to be a representative of the Jewish community in order to bring the Roman emperor of the time, a gift. and they gave him a box filled with gems. And the Talmud says that he went to an inn on his way, and the innkeeper, in the middle of the night, came and stole the box of gems, stole it all, and replaced it with sand. The next morning, Nachum Ish Gamzu, he wakes up and he sees the theft that happened. He sees that his chest of diamonds was taken, and what was left in there was sand. He had no idea who did this to him. He had no idea how this happened. But the Talmud says that this Jew reflected, Gamzu Litova, this too is for the good. And he decided that he's going to go with this chest forward to the Roman emperor. And he finally comes into the space where he meets the Roman emperor, and he says, I come on behalf of the Jewish people with a gift. And the Roman emperor opens up the gift, and he notices inside the chest that it is filled with sand. He says, what type of chutzpah is this, that you come here and this is a gift, a chest of sand? And he looks at his guards and he says, guards, kill him at once. And the Talmud says that Nachum Ish Gamzu at that moment proclaimed once again, Gamzu Latova, this too is for the good. And the soldiers are about to come with their knives to kill, to execute Nachum Ish Gamzu right there. And the Talmud says that all of a sudden Elijah the prophet appears as one of the people within the king's court. And he comes and he says, wait, he's a Jew. He's coming with sand. If you look inside the Bible, in the book of Genesis, it talks about sand that Abraham used to win his wars against the kings. That he would throw the sand and it would turn into spears. Maybe this Jew is bringing a genuine gift. Let's first see what the sand does when we throw it. And the Roman emperor agreed, and they took the sand and they used it at their next battle. And they threw it, and the Talmud says that the sand miraculously turned into spears. And the Roman emperor was so appreciative of this gift that the Jewish community gave, of this box of special miraculous sand, that the Roman emperor filled up another chest filled with gold and diamonds and rubies and emerald and gave it to Nachum Ish Gamzu and said, here's a gift for you and the Jewish community. Once again, what is perceived as a challenging, difficult time ended up being beautiful, a source of incredible blessing. There's another great story of where there was a Jewish man, this is going 300 years ago, where a Jewish man came to the famous Mazritcher Magid and said, how can I learn how to thank God for the good and thank God for the bad all the same? Who can teach me how this is done in one's life? And so the rabbi said, I want you to travel to a faraway town and I want you to meet a Jew. His name is Reb Zusha from the city of Anapoli. So he travels, he comes to this man's house, and he sees that this man is living in the smallest, most simple of all houses. A simple chair, a simple table, and that's it. He asks Zusha, where do you sleep? He says, I sleep here on the table. Where do you eat? I eat here on the table. Where do you study? I study here by the table. The Jew couldn't believe it. This whole man's life was just this small house with a chair and a table. And he felt genuinely bad. He felt bad for this person being in such a difficult situation. Well, at the end of the weekend, he couldn't believe the character of this man, that despite all of his poverty, he was happy. He was upbeat. He was always in a good mood. He held himself with such dignity. And he knew why the rabbi, the Magid of Mezritch, told him to come and travel to meet this Jew, Reb Zusha. So finally, at the end of the weekend, before he leaves, he tells this Jew, he says, the Magid sent me here to meet you. And I've witnessed you and I'm blown away. And my question that I would love for you to answer for me is, how can I thank God for the good and for the bad equally? Could you please explain to me the answer? And Reb Zusha looked at this Jew and he says, that's so interesting that the Magid sent you to me. I really think you should go and travel and meet someone that has experienced suffering in their life. I don't understand why the Magid sent you to me to answer this question. This is having the eyesight, the vision of the big picture. That if everything comes from God, this means that everything is good. But at the end of the day, what we pray for is that we should only have revealed good. Yes, we appreciate the perspective of hidden good. But even though it seems like a challenge, it seems like suffering, but if it comes from God, it's good. But that's hidden good. What we pray for is that we should only have revealed good in our life. And as we come towards the high holidays, this becomes the most meaningful. We know in the Jewish tradition, Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the day of judgment. It's the day where we stand in front of our Creator, and the next year is judged. Who shall live and who shall die? Who will be rich and who will be poor? Who will be healthy? Who will be sick? The fate of every creation in the world is decided on Rosh Hashanah, the day of judgment. And essentially what we pray to God is that this year should be a year of revealed good. We know that everything that comes from you is good. We know that. And we thank you for it. But our prayers this year, Rosh Hashanah, is that all the good should always and only be revealed. And we make ourselves a vessel for it. We prepare that we should be worthy for the revealed good. We make commitments to add in our study of Torah, add in our prayer, add in our returning and changing our character, and adding in the giving of charity. And it is with these things that we make a vessel for ourselves, that this year we should be so lucky to only see revealed good. And now we could understand why the Jewish traditional greeting during the high holiday season is Shana Tova Umetuka, that you should be blessed with a new good year that is sweet. Shana Tova, a good year, Umetuka, and that it is sweet. And the reason why we add the words Umetuka and that it is sweet is because we all know that we'll be blessed with a Shana Tova. We all know that we'll be blessed with a good year, because everything that comes from God is good. The question is, Umetuka, will it be sweet? Will it be revealed? Will it be the type of good that we genuinely feel, the way we understand what looks good? And now we can also appreciate the Jewish custom on Rosh Hashanah, on the Jewish New Year, is to take an apple and to dip it into the honey that comes from a bee and eat it and make this prayer that we should be blessed for a good, sweet year. Because honey is so sweet, but yet it comes from a bee. We know that sometimes in life, there's a sting. There are stings in life that are very painful. And even though we have faith that even the stings of life are also good, because it all comes from God and there's a purpose and a reason. But what we pray for is that we should be able to sense the honey that comes from the bee. We should be able to see and feel the sweetness that comes from the bee. This is the ultimate, and this is what we pray for. So my dear friends, the high holidays are coming. Rosh Hashanah is around the corner. It's been a crazy year. It's been a wild year. But let us come together. We will pray. We'll pray to God that we should be blessed with a new year, one that is filled with only revealed sweetness. And may we all be blessed with a Shana Tova Umetuka, a happy and a healthy and a revealed sweet new year, one where we only have good health, where there's good wealth, where there's happiness, where there's joy, where we are content, where we feel fulfilled, where all of the things in our life that we wish for and that we desire are there, revealed in abundance, together with an incredible amount of mazel, an incredible amount of good luck. So my dear friends, the high holidays are 3 weeks away. Now is the time to prepare. Please register for our inspiring and uplifting high holiday services. Just go to jewishforsight.org, jewishforsight.org, and I look forward to celebrating the new year together with you, and be blessed together with our entire community and the world over for a Shana Tova Umetuka, a happy and a healthy, sweet new year.
Very, very powerful. Folks, we look forward to seeing you at the high holidays. Rabbi, have a blessed week. Can't wait to see you again. Folks, y'all take care and God bless.
And never forget, L'chaim to life. Always infuse life into life.
The Shmooze is a weekly show that infuses life into life. More than a conversation, it's a meaningful Shmooze. To interact with the show or to become a sponsor, reach out at theshmooze@jewishforsyth.org.